This is Lisa Miller & Associates Florida Insurance Roundup, your podcast on the people, issues, and regulations shaping Florida's insurance market. Now, here's Lisa Miller.
Welcome, friends. Much has been said and written over the past 7 years about Florida's topsy-turvy property insurance marketplace. Many of you have followed our podcast for that many years and know exactly what I'm talking about. Ours is a state with the highest catastrophic risk of anywhere in America, and some would say in the world, due to hurricanes, and with it, high reinsurance cost. And that translates to high property insurance cost. Add in a lawsuit-happy environment where, at last count, Florida had just under 15% of the homeowners insurance claims in our good country, yet nearly 71% of the homeowners insurance lawsuits filed, and well, you have a recipe for a very challenging marketplace. That's not only for insurance companies, but consumers as well. The good news? The past 3 years of reforms passed by the Florida legislature and signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis are showing very encouraging results. First, Florida's domestic property insurance companies collectively showed a positive net income in 2023 for the first time in 7 years. These same companies reported lower loss reserve development at year-end 2023 than in 2022 by nearly 45%. Reinsurance costs have moderated. Litigation is easing, but still outpaces the U.S. average in legal defense cost. And as a result of all of this, the rate increases sought by insurance companies are smaller, much smaller. In fact, one company recently announced a 2% average statewide rate decrease for homeowners and condo policies. 8 new companies have come into Florida in the past 12 months to begin writing homeowners insurance. They are helping fill the gap left by the 7 companies that became insolvent in a 14-month period in 2022 into early 2023. So imagine our surprise when an academic article comes out this month critical of the quality of our Florida-based insurance companies, the ones that write the bulk of Florida's 7.5 million homeowners and condo insurance policies. Joining us from Columbus, Ohio, is Joe Petrelli, a 55-year veteran of the insurance industry. And I also count his time at the College of Insurance as a work-study student. Joe worked for ISO, the Insurance Services Office, before it was even ISO. Then he worked for a regional carrier in upstate New York before he moved to Columbus, Ohio, to work for the industry icon Nationwide. In 1980, Joe initiated a consulting practice, and on September 9, 1985, Joe and his wife and business partner, Sharon, who was also a heavily credentialed insurance professional in her own right, founded Demotech Incorporated. Most of us know Demotech as the company that entered the insurance rating sector in Florida in 1996. And that was to affect the resurrection of our property insurance marketplace post-Hurricane Andrew. What you may not know is that on July 11, 2022, Demotech was registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission as a nationally recognized statistical rating organization in the classification of insurance companies. Joe, welcome to the Florida Insurance Roundup podcast. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure to be here, Lisa. And before we get started, I'd just like to say Demotech's proud to have reviewed and rated 6 of the 8 new companies that are coming into Florida.
I am not surprised, Joe. I'm so glad that you're there standing by their side and helping them stay strong for all of our Floridians. So let's get right to it, Joe. In July of 2022, Demotech was the target of communications issued by the insurance commissioner, the chief financial officer of our state, Florida Association of Insurance Agents, and even U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. My recollection is that they were concerned about 17 or 27 insurance company rating downgrades that Demotech was contemplating. Was the number 17 or 27, Joe?
Lisa, the number was neither. We have a process that we began in 1989 when we were first accepted by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as the very first to review and rate independent regional and specialty companies. And when we worked with Commissioner Gallagher back in 1996 and with what was then the Department of Insurance, we had a process in place. We've been following that process forever. And every company we work with gets an inquiry or a letter periodically, especially when there's financial information to be reviewed. So I guess I shouldn't say the number 17 or 27. It was neither. It was every company we work with, whether Florida or elsewhere in the country.
Thank you for that clarification, Joe. That helps quite a bit. And even more recently, there seems to be another flurry of news in the Florida media related to this academic report on Demotech ratings in the Florida property market. The short name of the report is, quote, "When Insurers Exit." It says that the Florida insurance market is full of low-quality companies and that the vast majority of small insurance companies operating in Florida are considered so financially weak that they wouldn't typically meet federal guidelines allowing them to back mortgage homes. It casts aspersions, as a matter of fact, on the quality of Demotech's evaluation and rating process, as it is the principal rating agency for Florida's 50 or so Florida-based insurance companies. Joe, are you familiar with this report?
Well, I will answer that question, but I think to the extent that there was some miscommunication in July of 2022 that resulted in some information that was not accurate as to the number of companies we were downgrading or thinking about downgrading, there was some miscommunication associated with this report as well. In late June of 2023, one of the authors contacted Demotech to request some information from us. In early July, I responded to that email and said, "Give me a call. This is my cell number. Let me know what you need. We'll get it to you." I never heard from the author, and I found out about the report in March of 2024 when I got a call from somebody about it. So I think, and when I read the report, I think the thing to keep in mind is the report's based on what are called counterfactual AM Best ratings of Demotech rated companies. So I think that in and of itself should have alerted people that this was not based on anything real or actual. It was based on counterfactual information.
Well, Joe, I know you're an actuary and your credentials are unbelievable in terms of all the deep research you've done in the 50 years you've been in this business. I got to know and tell our listeners, when you talk about counterfactual issues, can you explain to us in layman's terms what that means? And then I want to talk about the process of this article getting written and released without your input. Go ahead, Joe.
Counterfactual, and I think I look at, there was an MIT review paper that talks about counterfactuals, and I'll just read some of that. The basic idea behind counterfactuals is to ask what would have happened in a situation had certain things been different. It's like rewinding the world, changing a few crucial details, and then hitting play to see what happens. It's essentially a simulation.
Is this commonly used in academic research, or do you know?
Well, I think when you think about it, I mean, it's very a counterfactual is very similar to catastrophe modeling, which people in Florida, I hope, are familiar with. Think about it. You have a situation like in 2018, Michael hit the panhandle. That's a fact. It hit the panhandle. Its damages were limited to the panhandle. A counterfactual would be, what if Michael hit Tampa? What if Michael hit the Keys? What if Michael hit Miami? Those are counterfactuals. They're simulations. They're not based on reality. Matter of fact, counterfactual against the facts. So it was based on some simulations. And I think the authors laid that out, I think on page 19, if I recollect, they basically laid out that they weren't going to use AM Best ratings they were going to use a replication model that they developed to pretend they knew what AM Best would be assigning to Demotech rated companies. So it was a theoretical, hypothetical, counterfactual, not factual analysis that was performed. And I think the author said that.
And for those that were reading the report, the absence of facts in an academic article to someone like me that's a layperson is almost oxymoronic. You know, an academic article, you would think, because there's plenty of facts out there about the Florida market. There's reams of legislative hearing documentation. There's citizens property insurance. There's the Hurricane Catastrophe Fund. Oodles of information that are facts that could have been used in this academic research, but to not use them is just puzzling to me. It's even more puzzling, Joe, that you and Demotech and any of your emissaries were not given the opportunity to have a sit-down discussion with these academicians about their 60-some-odd page report. That is puzzling to me as well, and I'm sure very troubling to you. I also recall that in one of the news stories that we read about this particular report, that it had not been peer-reviewed. And to me, that is for it to be published, if you will, or allowed to be discussed in the public eye without it being peer-reviewed, is another troubling feature of this report. So, Joe, I'm going to turn it back over to you. The report talks about lower level of capital and surplus of our Florida-based companies, and that's what's causing these insolvencies. It didn't really, to me, talk about what we know are the facts in Florida based on hundreds of hearings and discussions in our open public sunshine meetings in the legislature and in other venues. What are your thoughts about them and about this report and the assertion that it was the lower level of capital and surplus that caused the insolvencies and not the other factors that we know were the real reasons? Joe?
Well, first of all, I don't know that a peer review would sway my perspective on this, given that the report basically says we are using a model to create what we think would be AM Best ratings of Demotech rated companies. So they never used AM Best ratings. We could have given that to them. We have actually, there's a fair number of companies that are dual rated. We had that information we could have shared. And we could have also shared some impairment rate and survival statistics that show that Fannie nor Freddie is exposed by relying on Demotech rated companies. And that's countrywide as well as Florida. But the truth of the matter is that once you say it's counterfactual, you're basically saying it's a simulation. So it doesn't have to reflect reality to be a simulation. That being said, let's get over to the major point on the capital levels and the surplus levels of the Florida-focused carriers. We believe, we being Demotech and also Todd Kozakowski, who did some research for us, we believe that the situation in Florida prior to the recent law revisions put the Florida-based companies in a position where they were being targeted through tech-enabled claim instigation. They were being targeted by artificial intelligence platforms. And we're not talking about word processors. We're talking about Deep Blue, when IBM was teaching a computer to play chess against Boris Kasparov. And the first couple games, the computer lost. But after that, it beat Kasparov. We're talking about artificial intelligence. We're talking about litigation financing. We're talking about litigation marketing firms who would help find claimants, and we're talking about search engine optimization being used online. The companies that failed in Florida, the seven companies you mentioned that failed in 22 and 23, with their tiny market share of Florida, those companies had more new claims in 2021, litigated claims, more new litigated claims in 2021 than the entire state of California which is a $12 billion market for homeowners. Matter of fact, the claims of those seven companies was double the number of the entire litigated claims in California. So I think surplus levels, capital levels, certainly that's important. But the other thing that was fascinating to me in the report is the report also thought it was unusual that companies in Florida, which, as you indicated, is the most exposed state, whether from a dollar amount of total insurance value or a catastrophe perspective, there was a section in the report where it actually commented on how much reinsurance the company spent and bought and how much they spend for reinsurance. And I kind of think that's a good thing in a catastrophe prone area. More reinsurance is always better than less if you're an insurance company in Florida.
And you know, Joe, the puzzling part of this entire report and the researchers that did it, you know, they're all over the country. It doesn't mean that they can't understand what goes on in Florida. But as someone said to me, to know Florida is to stand on its soil. And there's something to be said about that. You know, we have tremendous researchers at FSU, University of Florida, University of Miami, several schools that are studying the Florida market and have tremendous and very robust programs that follow every single facet of the Florida market. So anytime there are academics that are listening to this that want to understand it, we're happy to point them in the right direction. I want to turn our focus, Joe, to the going forward versus looking backward. And I want to get your perspective about what you think some of the recent reforms have done. Do you think that our Florida-based companies are headed in the right direction? And do you think that what we've done is going to have a real positive effect on the reinsurance market? Can you pull out your crystal ball?
I would say this. I'm seeing the results of the reforms from 2022, whether May or December 2023. I think when you look at what the governor and the CFO advocated, if they would have had the support of the entire legislature in early 2022, you'd be that much ahead of the curve. I think all these reforms have been exceptional and beneficial to consumers as well as to the insurance companies, and ultimately the reinsurance community will see that. So I think the reforms have been a positive impact already, and I think you see that in the formation of the new carriers. Some of the carriers have legacy business. And by legacy business, I mean they acquired policies under the old legislative rules and statutes. And now you have some new companies starting out. So they're 100% under the new rules. And I think that in and of itself is an indication that things are working. The governor and the CFO and the legislature's changes have been beneficial. That's how you attract capital. You give them a chance to make money.
That is tremendous perspective, Joe. And I got to tell you, I spent a lot of my time talking with reinsurers, talking to insurance companies, talking to realtors, contractors, insurance adjusters, agents, everybody that has their fingers in our orbit of property insurance. And consumers are even saying, oh, I opened my renewal and it, quote, wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So this is encouraging to see that the restoration of our property insurance market to a competitive position, I think, is going to be very healthy. And we're just at the beginning of it, and we're going to hope that it continues on the steep incline. So, Joe, is there anything else that you want our listeners to know? What are your final thoughts before we bring this in for a landing?
My final thought would be that I think you're correct in your perspective on the market. The stabilization has begun. There may be some modest rate decreases down the road, but I think stabilization means modest rate increases. I think if there's a decrease here or there, I think that's great for consumers and for the companies that experience that. But at the end of the day, we should all remember that the price of tar paper goes up, the hourly wages of the skilled craftsmen that fix our houses go up, cost of rugs is going up, and shingles is going up, glass is going up. And so we should expect in the long run moderate increases. But if you get a rate decrease now and again, enjoy it.
As they say, take it to the bank. Joe, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this show. And I saw the articles in the news, I think just one article actually in the news about this particular report. I went and I pulled the report. I looked at it. I like to see what, you know, the news is talking about. And some of your perspective is my perspective. It wanted to give our readers, if they hadn't seen it, something to look at, something to think about as kind of the rest of the story and the real story. So I hope that's what this does for you as listeners. And if we can help in any way and add more information about, you know, Demotech and financial stability ratings and how things are working in Florida, and you're from out of our state, we're happy to talk with you about that. And I want to thank Joe Petrelli, president of Demotech, for being on this show. Joe, you're a great friend and been a hardworking individual in this state for over 50 years to make it a better place. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Lisa. And thank you for the, on behalf of the 460 companies we review and rate countrywide, thank you for giving people the chance to learn what counterfactual means.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And in our podcast show notes, we're going to have a link to this report, and that's called When Insurers Exit, along with various official reports on the state of the Florida property insurance market. So you can really see the facts of what's going on and what has gone on in Florida. We are seeing some very encouraging signs of a turnaround. And of course, we'll have a written summary of our conversation here today. We take the notes so you don't have to. If you work in the insurance industry or are in one of our the allied fields that support those that are in the insurance companies, et cetera, if you are an insurance consumer, we'd love to hear from you and get your perspective on these issues. We invite you to leave a message at 850-388-8002, 850-388-8002. We want to hear your experience. We appreciate our listeners and the perspective they give us. Please drop us a note at Lisa Miller at lisamillerassociates.com. And you can always follow us in our various social media accounts on LinkedIn, Facebook, X. Hit like and follow us so you won't miss a future episode. Please share this with your colleagues and friends. I know when I travel throughout the state of Florida or in any other state, I receive often emails and calls or see people in airports where you have forwarded our information to them. It's very refreshing and rewarding for that to happen because we work really hard to help you stay informed. We appreciate all of you taking the time to listen. Thank you for being a part of the Florida Insurance Roundup. Remember, at Lisa Miller & Associates, we have a passion for policy and client success. I'm Lisa Miller. Until next time, stay safe.
This has been Lisa Miller & Associates Florida Insurance Roundup, your podcast on the people, issues, and regulations shaping Florida's insurance market. For more information on today's program, please visit us on the web at www.lisamillerassociates.com.